we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining us today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
There's a price to pay for leadership.
Right.
You got to lead. You got to lead. You got to lead. And it's because he wound up following her. She starts blaming him.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right. Right.
She starts blaming him. It's like, wait a second.
Right. Yeah. This is your idea. My,
you know, and, but,
And then they go, I hope I'm not messing you up here, but then they go, the person goes, what?
Yeah.
And if at their corner, they go, you listen to me?
Yeah.
It's like, you're thinking, is this when Moses beat the rock? Is this when he beat the rock? Is this the moment, you know?
Right.
But yeah. You got to lead at the risk of losing those you're called to lead, because they will only be safe if you follow God.
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely. And then she says, you know, Abram and Sarah, the big deal here is that they took their eyes off of the Lord and put it on themselves. You know, she said, perhaps I will build a house. I will build a family through her. And the thing is that you're not going to build anything that started in the heart of God. God's going to build what he wants. And if you build something, trust me, it ain't going to be God. It's going to be something out of your head, Tower of Babel. You know, that was something that came out of their head, not out of the plan of God, out of the heart of God. And the truth is that it wasn't about Sarah. It wasn't about Abraham. It wasn't even about the people of Israel, right? The promise. It was all about what God wanted to do. It was all about God. And it's, you know, I'm reminded about in Hebrews, it says through faith and patience, we inherit the promise. And the truth is that we got to get our eyes off of ourselves and listen, God, what are you saying to us in this hour? What do you want me to do? How do you want me to do it? When do you want me to do it? All of those are so important, because if you think that it's about you and if you think that it's about you trying to bring this thing to pass, let me tell you, you're going to crash and burn.
Mm-hmm. I'm thinking about the words of Jesus in Matthew 10. You know, where he takes, he's finding out, who do we love? Because he says this in Matthew 10:32. He says, whoever acknowledges me before men, which means I'm going to do what he says despite what men say, I will acknowledge him before the Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before men, which means following somebody other than God in the context of that, I will disown him before the Father. Do not suppose that I've come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be a member of his own household. Anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And anyone who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Well, it's not, he's not saying hate on people. He's just saying, with God, obedience is love. So yeah. If we obey man over God, when Abram obeyed Sarai over obeying God, that became a whole issue. When we do that, by the way, we're actually birthing a future struggle that you may not ever get rid of.
No.
It may be, we're still living with that struggle today. Mm-hmm. God says, I'm going to make a great nation out of the wrong advice. Right? He blessed Ishmael. John, you're just talking to us about how important it is to remember how God spoke to us through who he spoke to us. And it was just, it's an awesome thing. Keep on. Let us know, man. This is so important.
Well, it's important that we just keep our eyes on God. When God's the one that says something to us, that we don't internalize it and make it about us. We don't take our eyes off of God and put them on us. If God's said it, then he's going to do it. He's going to provide. He's going to lead us. He's going to guide us. And we only live to do what he wants us to do anyway. So he says, go, go. If he says, go there, do this, we do this. But he does it. He does it. He empowers us to do it. We don't do it ourselves. And what Sarah got all messed up on, and Abraham, is that they took their eyes off of God. God was the one who told Abraham, listen, I'm going to make you and your descendants as numerous as the sands in the seashore and as numerous as the stars in the sky. God said, I'm going to do that. And they took that call, that vision, and took it upon themselves. And the truth is that all these three components have to work. It's God's plan, it's God's way, and it's in God's timing. When you have all three of those together, then God, you know, his blessing, success is there. But when we step outside of God, when we start doing our own thing, let me tell you something. Look at Ishmael. Ishmael today, we're still dealing with those consequences. We're still dealing with what happened because they stepped outside of what God said. And if you're called to lead, you got to lead. You know, Abraham didn't lead. He did not lead in that particular case. And let me tell you, there was grace and mercy for Abraham. I mean, the promise still came and God still used them.
It's his bosom that will be welcomed in, yeah, with the father of faith. He actually is the tip of the spear of a man who believed God and obeyed God. Those things together was a complete work of faith. He's the father of that.
Father of faith.
And it's his blessings that we receive, the blessings of Abraham, because he did. Which is, isn't that encouraging, though? Because, I mean, he was human on his journey.
Yeah.
But he repented and was willing to even lay down the promise.
Through faith and patience. Through faith and patience, we'll inherit the promise.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
How do you handle traumatic events? This is Focus on the Family Minute. I'm John Fuller. Dr. Walt Larimore describes a tragic situation and the different ways he and his wife Barb processed the difficult news.
5 or 6 of the staff were killed, and a couple of others were in the hospital in the ICU. And when we heard that, my response to that was I just needed some time to pray about it, to process it. Barb called her best friend Penny, and we used to get mad about that. Like, why can't she talk to me? Why does she have to talk to Penny? Or why does he go away? Why can't he talk to me? Now we understand that.
Well, it helps to be aware of how God designed men and women, because we do handle life's difficulties in different ways. And rather than letting those differences irritate you, it's best to learn to understand and then appreciate them. Dr. Larimore has more to say right now at focusonthefamily.com/radio.
You know, Greg, what's so encouraging about abiding is that you can have your own experience with the Lord. Mm-hmm. You know, many people are out there right now and they're trying and they really want to hear and learn something from God, but they're reading devotionals.
Yeah.
That's another person's abiding experience. That's what God told someone else.
Yeah.
But guess what? There is good news, Greg.
Yeah.
You can go to iabide.org and you can follow a simple plan where you can hear God directly speak to you. Is that amazing?
Well, think about it. Their personal abiding experience was so powerful. You might be reading about their personal body experience today, calling it a devotional, and it is affecting you some way. You're actually eating another man's groceries. Do you know that God has food for you? Taste and see the Lord is good. Do you know that he has more than enough? He wants a personal abiding relationship with you. And you can find out more about that, just like you said, John, at iabide.org. You know, you write your own devotionals. When you start abiding with God, we have 8-year-olds that are writing their own devotionals. And they're just it's their own personal time with God, and they're writing it down, and it's a powerful encounter. Nobody can take that from them.
Fresh bread. Fresh manna daily.
Oh my goodness. iabide.org.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
If you have not yet heard It Ain't Over, you need to listen to that, because I think you can see it on VFN TV. I know you can see it on VFN TV, but you can see also, I believe, on the app. You need to be encouraged, because when God does his best work, when in the natural sense, it looks like it's over, because men quite often have to have their back against the proverbial wall before they'll say, this is God. You know, we have a tendency, as God told Gideon, nope, you got too many people, because you'll take credit for it, and you'll write books how you did it.
That's right.
Yeah.
So I'm going to narrow you down to, 300 to deliver a nation. Really? I mean, think about that. I mean, first of all, I mean, quite often, you know, the reluctant leader, right? Mighty men of valor. He's sitting
here. Are you looking at my notes?
Actually, I did. And it's just like the reluctant leader. He's hiding in a wine press, just trying to survive, eking out a living. And God says, well, that's what I want to use, the weakest and the least. And
it's in the Bible.
Oh, it's in the
That's cool.
The black box was in my notes. No. He even wrote my notes in his journal.
Yeah. Oh, imagine that.
So anyway, it's really a reluctant leader. A reluctant leader. And he is trying to eke out a living.
Mm.
He's hiding. He's hiding from just, you know, you got to focus in some environments. You just got to focus to do the mundane things because everything is against everybody doing what they got to do. And all of a sudden, an angel shows up and says, you know, mighty man of valor. And he's looking around. He's going like, what? Are you looking for a church or something? You know, he's like, you know, right now I'm just beating some wheat here in this wine press. There wasn't even wine in it. He's like a weed in the wine press. And because, you know, that way you're like in a pool, so nobody can see. You're hidden on every side. And so God chooses this reluctant leader like he did for, you know, so he's always done.
Mm.
And he's the weakest and the least. He finally gets his courage up after wet, dry, dry, wet, dry, all the different confirmations that he needed. He got close to those that he was going to deliver from, and he heard them speak. And it's so interesting. That's happened to me, you know, many times. And you hear the very ones prophesy to you what God has already told you in your spirit, and you're going like, whoa, amazing. Anyway, and so, but, so he gets ready to go, and all these thousands of people are just like, he blows the horn, he gets on, you know, radio, TV, gets on the internet, whatever he's got to do, and he just shouts out, and all these people come, and you think like, man, we're going to do this thing, man. We're going to got thousands of people. We're going to, you know, we're going to do this thing. You know, the reluctant leader is leading, and then reluctantly, God starts sending them away.
Mm.
You know, long story short, every one of them but 300 stayed, because God was saying, you still got too many. You're going to have to do this whole thing when you're back against the wall, because if you don't do this whole thing when you're back against the wall, you're going to tell people, or people around you are going to say that you did it and I didn't do it. And the whole issue, the reason why you're in the predicament that you're in right now, why you're in a wine press, is because everybody's forgotten about me.
Mm.
It's not that I haven't been doing it, but they just don't realize I'm doing it. And they think they're the ones that have to eke this thing out. But if they would have turned back to me, I'd bless the harvest of their field and hold back the Midianites, the strife in their life. But because of that, I've got to do this thing with your back against the wall.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to choose a reluctant leader. I had to choose a reluctant leader whose back was against the wall from the time that he was born. And then I had to narrow you down to 300 people who would listen to the reluctant leader, because if I didn't, as you can see my story, Gideon would say, as I died and went on to be with the Lord, they worshipped my clothes. They worshipped my ephod. The tendency of human nature is not to worship God. The sin nature part of us is to worship things and stuff and ideas and concepts and men's strengths and men's wisdom versus God's awesomeness and his love. And they even began to worship his ephod that he wore. God knows us. And so when your back's against the wall, and God's calling you to do something, and you're struggling with reluctantly thinking, I'm not the one. You know, Moses was stuttering, but God, I can't do this. You know, and God chose the reluctant leader, Moses, to do it. Think about it.
Yeah.
That's where God does his best work. I mean, it is not over when finally, when enough people see that your nation's back's against the wall, when America sees our back's against the wall, realize that's when when God begins to part water and begins to show himself and rain down manna and pillars of fire and pillars of smoke and signs and wonders and provision and all these things begin to happen and nobody can say anything but God did this.
That's right.
It's kind of like a rebooting of the reality of our Creator and what he created. Mm. So I just want to encourage you, if you haven't yet heard, it ain't over till it's over. You need to understand that. Understand that God uses the weak things of the world to confound the wise. The things that are not to nullify the things that are. If you keep trying to be something, you can't be used by God. But if you stay nothing and stay faithful to God, then God can use you. You're not worried about losing a reputation that you don't have.
That's right.
You're not worried about looking better than you are because you already know how better you're not. You know, you're just dependent on God and you're obeying God. You're not reluctant in the context that you're rebelling against God. You have no problem with somebody else. If God says, okay, somebody else, you can do this. Mm-hmm. And you would even support the person who was doing it. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, that's just so wonderful. Anything you need from me, you just let me know. I'll be there right there with you. And so I just want to encourage you. I want to encourage you. If you haven't yet gone to VFN TV, you can see it on your app too, I believe, the VFN TV app. It ain't over till God says it's over. And understand that, you know, America's not there yet. We have a few more steps to take where we quit turning to Washington, quit turning to concepts, ideas, and schemes, and start turning back to God and his word. And you'll be surprised, you know, we want to have unity, Christ-centered unity in the church, and the church is actually people, not buildings and organizations. But once we all turn back to God and his word, we're automatically unified because we're actually walking in one spirit with one Lord, one word, one way. Mm-hmm. And so it's not a complicated thing, but it's real complicated to have Christ-centered unity when, you know, half the bunch, 82% of the bunch are not even in the word. Mm. And Christ is the word. So if you're not in the word, operating by the word, believing the word, then how can somebody who is unify with you? You know, we can have breakfast and do things, but the truth is, you know, how can two walk together unless they agree?
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's right.
And so I just want to encourage you. That maybe that's your personal situation. Maybe you just lost your job. Maybe, you know, your boss told you got two more weeks to work. You know, maybe your child has just come and bared some news to you that just shattered your heart. Maybe, you know, you have a spouse that just says, I'm out of here. You know, maybe you just got a report from a doctor that's just put a chill up your spine and all of a sudden your entire world is the way you see things have changed. You know, maybe you've lost all your retirement. You know, maybe you're thinking the kids that you always loved, now that you're coming to the age of that you can't really do for yourself, you're finding out that they didn't really care and they're just doing for themselves and not you. And they see you as a walking around investment in their future, not them investing in you. I mean, all these different things. I want to encourage you that if you turn to God, I'm telling you, God is your defender. I mean, you need to listen to the wisdom moment this week. I don't know what we titled it on the torch, but God will defend you. He will defend you. If you won't defend yourself, if you'll just trust God in the context of that, he'll even rise up in defense of the poor. He'll even defend the poor. And he will defeat those who are trying to defeat you. I just want to encourage you. The best time in the world for you to see God move is when your back is against the wall.
You know, so true what you're saying. I was actually abiding in the same scripture, and what the Lord's showing me is that we live in such a blessed land. There's so much abundance. There's so many resources everywhere you go. It's pretty hard to struggle here in America. You can go to any place and find an abundance of food. You can find medication at almost any corner, you know, drugstore. They even have drugstores in the food chains. And so it's completely blessed. And what we find with Gideon is that they were under major oppression. You know, Israel was blessed, but they left the blessing. They left the blesser. They were happy to get the blessing, but then they took off with God's blessing and were absolutely oppressed by the Midians.
Yeah,
they ravished the land. There was more, they were like locusts everywhere. They
you know what that word "Midian" means? It means strife. Mm. How many people are living in marital strife, family strife, strife in America? Where you look, there's strife, strife at the church, strife, strife. Right? It looks like the Midianites are everywhere, right?
Everywhere, and so you know they're crying out to God. They're crying out for deliverance. God sends them Gideon, and then Gideon, you know, He has all these men to go fight with him. They're going to take back the land. They're going to bring back and restore what God gave them. And it boils them down. I mean, just that group got smaller and smaller. They had 22,000 that left because they were fearful. Then they had 10,000. And then he said, listen, they're drinking water differently. I want you to separate them. And he was left with 300.
Yeah, he was like using the things that they went through to help separate them out, the journey. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Some people say, well, why are these, what's happening? It's like, no, the journey will separate those.
Oh.
God will draw people close and he'll separate people. He knows what he's doing and he knows the number, what it needs to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And for so long in America, we've leaned on our strength. It's like, we didn't lean on God. He got them down to 1% of what he actually had to start out with, 1%. And it's like, you know, 1% with God is always so much better than 100% without him. And God wants to show us that no matter what we're going through, not to have confidence in our ability, our resources, our things, the stuff, but to have confidence in God and God alone. They had 1%, he had 1% to take on this army, and God did it. And so be encouraged today. We've been sharing with you that 1% with God is always far greater than 100% without him. You can only do this. You can only do this with God. You can't do it apart from him. It's time for us to get off everything that we've been leaning on, everything we've been trusting in, all of the resources, and say, God, it's all about you, and we're going to trust you to bring this to pass.
That's exactly right. I want to talk about waiting, and it's something that we don't like to do until there's something. For example, if you're going to have to go into an arena for a bullfight, and somebody says, you need to wait here. Somebody
right.
goes,
no
okay,
problem.
Hey, I'll wait here, right? But, you know, waiting on the Lord is such an important thing. And waiting is not the point necessarily where you're just sitting there doing nothing. But it's when God tells you something and gives you something, and you're getting this direction, this leading from God, whether it's for your ministry, your family, your business, your nation, whatever it is. And you have to just ponder that, kind of like going through the four phases we talked about in incubating your faith yesterday. And and you need to learn how to wait. And waiting reveals so much. Because waiting reveals your heart to you, but also your heart to others and others' hearts to you. And it just, all the motives surface in your life and all the motives surface in others' lives. And it's so important that if the motives have not yet surfaced, it's good to wait until they do. If you're, for example, if you are and I'll give a shout out to Steve this morning. He just did a great job on VFN Radio, man. And I just really was very encouraged by your time on VFN Radio and look forward to you being back on. But when you think about, because he's a Marine, that's why I'm talking about it, that if you have a troop of Marines that's going to go somewhere, you need to be able to know their heart and the motives of their hearts, because you're fixing to fight a battle that you're going to need them to stand with you. And when they say, I'm going to cover you, and they say that I'm going to back you up, and then I'm going to, you know, and the biggest thing about the soldiers and what they learn is they don't necessarily fight the microcosm of the concept of what they do. They don't fight necessarily for a cause. They don't fight for a some big political strategy. They fight for each other. And they defend each other, and no man left behind. And so they do what you got to do in the context of everybody coming home. That's right. Their goal. And so it's important then to know that, hey, are you going to fight? You know, are you going to fight the good fight of faith? Are you going to stand? Do you understand what's going on? And so waiting helps reveal all those things. And one thing that waiting does, waiting reveals three different kinds of motives amongst others. One is whether the motives are satanic or they're Satan's motives, you know, such as self-exalting, what others think of you, how it will look in men's eyes, double-mindedness, impatience, willing to do it if I, and you fill in the blank, right. Pride, more highly of one's self to the point of possible gains involved in it happening, or recognitioning happening. And so that self-exaltation type thing. I got to get my name in lights. I want to be a part of this. And waiting will reveal that, because waiting kind of takes away all that self-glory. You know, it just kind of lets all that go. And somebody says, well, how long do I have to wait? And it's like, we're in the microwave generation that we can send a text message and it goes around the world in 6 seconds, and we get impatient. When you look at Abraham was 80 years old. Well, Moses was 80 years old.
Wow.
Right? It was like it was Abraham. Abraham was 90 years old. Sarah was 90.
Right. Abraham was 99.
Abraham was 99. And that's a pretty good wait.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good wait. You know, Moses did 40 on the backside to do 40 on the front side.
That's right.
Yeah.
And the timing, it's just.
God's
relax.
Not in a hurry, is he?
He is not in a hurry. And quite often, maybe if we could die to ourselves sooner, we could probably use this sooner.
Mm-hmm.
But it just takes a lot. And I love the way that a friend of mine would always say, he said, you know, when I first started in ministry, I had a lot of answers and very few questions. And he said, now that I've been in a while, he says, I have a lot of questions and very few answers, but I would die for those answers.
All right.
And as you move along, you just grow in wisdom. And I'm hoping that soon we'll have what's called, it's not going to be the line of debarkation, but it's going to be a time that lines are drawn, because everything we say is one linear experience, because it's all out there. And even since we've launched in VFN Radio and VFN TV, you know, I've grown in wisdom. I've been able to see things differently. God has opened my eyes more, and I'll be the first to admit that. And so what we'll have in some way, at some point, you'll be able to go and click on a part of the menu that shows a line of demarcation, something that from this point on that we begin to think differently. I think about the believers who were ministering in the book of Acts. They talk about them. I think it was Alexander was ministering in the name of Jesus. And, you know, and it was a successful ministry, I would assume. But they needed to know some more.
Mm-hmm.
And so they said, the word of God says, so they explained things more thoroughly to him and he received it. Peter is preaching to Cornelius's house, bringing them what he knows, only finding out that he didn't know hardly anything at all, because in the middle of while he was talking, God was moving, and these Gentiles got filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which changed his doctrine that he could, you know, at that one moment. And he, you know, obviously we read about it because he wrote about it. He shared it. And you have to be open to that.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Oh my goodness, aunties. Listen, if you're looking for some barbecue, you got to go get some ribs, some pulled pork, and so much more in Cantonment. You don't want to miss it. Highway 29th and go north, and let your nose lead you the way. The $50 Eye Guy, where they have everything from Rex to Specs. If you want to visit them today, they're right across from Home Depot in Pensacola. Visit a $50 Eye Guy today so you can see. Amazing Automotive, serving all of your automotive needs for over 30 years. Where their motto is, if it flies, floats, or rolls, we can work on it. On the corner of Hollywood and Marietta Boulevard. Come, bring your vehicle in today. Taqueria Ogies, authentic Mexican food. They're coming all over the Gulf Coast for some. Come get some today. Spicy, hot, and delicious. Your plate is next. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
If you've ever looked at the church and have thought to yourself, these people are just way too perfect for me to come around them, then you know what? You and I are a lot alike. That was my story. I thought everyone in the church was just perfect, and I was the only one with issues. But guess what? Everyone that comes to Jesus has a background. We don't come to Jesus because we're perfect. We come to Jesus because we need a Savior. And you know, I was at that place. I was at that place where things weren't going right in my life. I was away from God. I was in sin. I was chasing after the world, trying to find an identity, trying to find myself. And the more I kept looking for myself, the more I went deeper and deeper into sin. But then I had an encounter. I had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. And when that happened, everything changed. Yeah, my life wasn't perfect, but I met the one who is perfect. And with that, I'm absolutely okay. I want to encourage you to read my story. You can read other stories of people that were not perfect, but people who met the perfect one. Mm-hmm. You can go to meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him. Steve, I got great news.
Tell me.
Did you know that there's an app on how to build a fire?
Really?
There's an app. Yes, there's an app how to build a fire. Okay.
I need that one. Tell me about it.
Oh, yes, you do. You definitely need that one.
Yeah.
And guess what? It's free. Don't cost you nothing. I'm going to hook you up. But guess what else there's an app for?
Drying the wood.
Nope. VFN Radio.
Nice.
Does it matter if you have an iPhone? Does it matter if you have a Droid? VFN Radio has an app for that. All you need to do is go to your app store and search VFN TV. And hit download, and it's VFN Radio on the go. So no matter if you're at home, no matter if you're in the car, you're at the beach, you're at the park, you can stay plugged in, you can be encouraged, and you have so much access to so much more. Download the app now, VFN TV.
Welcome to the daily VFN Radio program. Well, we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining us today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
I think what's really important is that you'll be able to go to a place on the VFN Torch, and you can get to it at VFNTV.com, and we'll just draw a line. You know, if it happens, you know, three times in one day, we'll draw a line. No. We'll draw a line because we want to be on this whole journey. I mean, you look at the faith journey with Abraham, which his first name was Abram, and at some point he would have had to draw a line and says, "Oh, it's Abraham now. I know that I call myself Abram, but God has spoken to me." But there's quite a few lines, you know, that he would have said in the process of his journey. He would have said that, hey, this is what you're supposed to do, that if your wife cannot fulfill by having a child, that you're supposed to sleep with your maid, Hagar.
Her maidservant.
Maidservant. Mm. And then that's how you're going to have the inheritance. Mm. And he would have said that. He did it, you know. And then when all of a sudden, God comes through, not in his timing, but in his time, he realizes, you know, this is a mistake.
It was a rut-row line.
You know, but the thing is that it's written about. God did not erase that journey because this is our journey. We learn as we go.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why I love everything out there because, you know, you just learn it. And we had to have the past experience to understand a present experience. Mm-hmm. And we're not becoming more and more saved, that God's becoming more and more revealed to us. And in the context of that Isaac was born. And then he had two sons now, one that was based on his old way of thinking that his wife kind of brought to him, but kind of forgot that she's the one that brought it up and was dogging him out about it. But God stepped in. And made a way for the whole lineage of what was birthed under that original revelation. He didn't just do away with it. Right. He said, "I'm going to make a great nation." And so, but as things go deeper and God's more revealing himself to us, he'll do a deeper work. He'll do a bigger work. And so we want to kind of make that available to you and be able to look for that. But understanding that and it's in the waiting. When you're waiting, it reveals things to you. God reveals himself to you and you learn more about God. Think about it. When God took Israel through the wilderness, You know, it's probably about 11-day journey, 40-day journey, I guess it would be. You know, I heard a couple different aspects of that. But he did it so he could reveal, he wanted them to wait in the wilderness so that their hearts would be revealed to them. And it did. I mean, obviously, mm-hmm. the first generation's heart was not that good. So they died out there without a Walmart. And then the next generation came in, but even they had a few issues about going into to the land as well. But in the context of that, so that was a waiting time. And so, and God was revealing himself continually with manna and fire and the tent of meetings and provision and, you know, sin and healing and deliverance and all these things are taking place. Water from a rock, you know, all these different things are taking place. And people are moving their motives or have a chance to move their motives off of self and put them on God. And obviously Moses did that, as God described to him as the most humble man on the face of the earth. I mean, he understood, mm. you know, that wasn't his goal, was not Satan's goal.
Mm. Right.
And the next particular motive of the three that waiting reveals is our self, flesh. Now, Satan's goal is about self-exaltation, although your flesh benefits from his lies, that in his projection of it, that but it's about self-exaltation. It's about idolatry. It's about impatience. It's about I'm willing if I type thing. Now, the second one, it reveals, waiting reveals, you know, self, flesh. It reveals survival. You know, do I want to survive? The fear of loss or the fear of failure, you know, those type of things where you have personal things that happen to you. The fear of lack, fear itself,
mm-hmm.
fear
mm-hmm.
of rejection. You know, what if I go to Nazareth and present my business idea or go to Nazareth and preach the gospel and they don't respond? What's that going to do to me? The person, this particular aspect it reveals to us is that it's not somebody wanting themselves to be exalted, they're wanting themselves to be spared pain, lack, rejection, you know, personal damage. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not willing to suffer. They're going to spare suffrage in their life.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, obviously pride, self-awareness. Right. Double-mindedness. It reveals double-mindedness, where Satan's plans says, I'm willing if I get this, get that, get my name up in lights or whatever. Now, this flesh aspect that it reveals in this aspect of it, I'm willing if I don't fail. I'm willing if I don't lack. I'm right. willing if I am not rejected. You know, I'm willing if I survive, you know, mm-hmm. that type of thing.
Right. If it doesn't hurt.
Yeah, I'm willing if there's no pain involved in it.
Right.
And so the pride involved in this aspect that waiting reveals is thinking about oneself, weaknesses or strengths, because you can look at your strengths and say, you know, I can, if you're thinking about lifting weights and, you know, Pat lifts weights, I heard, and depends.
It depends.
And you can lift 100 pounds, for example. But then you're looking to say, I got a strength. I can lift 100 pounds. But then God's calling you, or this business adventure that you're feeling like God's leading you in is a 200-pound adventure. It's a 200-pound ministry, for example. Mm-hmm. So you're actually looking at your strength. Mm-hmm. You're counting your men as David did.
Mm.
You're counting your money. You're counting your resources. You're counting that and trying to figure out if you got enough whatever to be able to do what God's called you to do. And this is self. This is we'd be focusing on ourself. And that's another thing that waiting reveals. Because if you wait long enough, the first thing is that the whole thing is like Satan's whole thing's out the door. Mm-hmm. When all of a sudden it's like, there's not even a Walmart out here in the desert. So I'm not going to get my names up on no marquee nowhere, you yeah, know, right. And I'm on the backside tending sheep right here and that type right. of thing. And so, and the last thing that's revealed, and this is what you want, and this is why you need to wait on the Lord. And waiting is like a waiter. You're abiding with God. You're being faithful in the mundane things. You're loving God, loving others, and leading others to the same. But we're talking about something that God is moving you to be able to release. And understand this is happening not only with you to others, you to yourself, and others to you, and you to others, but it's actually showing you who's in your troops, who's going, like the disciples. Jesus said when everybody wasn't in Jesus' troops, they started leaving, he goes, you know, the disciples looked at him and said, listen, you know, they're all going.
Yeah.
And Jesus said, you know, what about you?
Yeah.
You know, is your motive satanic? Is your motive self? Or this last one, is your motive the Spirit of God? Is the leading? Because those are led by the Spirit of God, or sons of God. And with that, we have peace. We have just the peace of God that passes all understanding. Listen, when we were moving in selfish pride, it was all about understanding. Mm-hmm. Give me some more. I got to understand. If you tell me, I got to just explain it to him. Give me, you know, it's like, okay, that's you. You're trying to figure out where you're going to either get recognition, or whether you're going to fail or not.
Be spared, yeah.
Be spared or not. I mean, there's something about, you know, doing something to self. But when you have this peace, it just doesn't matter. It just does, you have this peace that God is with you. This is the leading. You're no longer double-minded, but you're single-minded in regards to what you're doing and where you're going. You just have a peace about it. You're self-sacrificing at this point. You're willing to lay down your life for it because you totally know it's God and you know, whether Nazareth responds or not, God's calling you there. And so you just do what God's called you to do, what you're leading to do. And you're willing versus, remember, the first satanic idolatry was, I'm willing if I get promoted, get recognition. The second is self, I'm willing if I don't get hurt, that type of thing. But the being spirit-led is, I'm willing for him and him alone.
Mm.
I'm just willing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a willing. You know, God's not looking for golden vessels. He's looking for willing vessels. And I'm just willing.
Yeah.
And the thing about it is, if you're not willing yet, you haven't waited long enough.
Mm.
Don't panic, because God's not in a hurry. Mm-hmm. And if those around you are not willing yet, or they're still thinking about positions and titles and survival and lack, and despite whatever, God's bringing manna from the sky, he's bringing water from a rock, he's healing, all these different things. Don't be shocked when people go, well, I don't know. It's like, you don't know. Just realize they haven't waited long enough.
They're not ready.
Not ready yet.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I was in a meeting, I guess, or something, and so I was going to go to the restroom. You're not going to believe this. So I go to the restroom, but I was in my zone. What's that?
We might believe this.
Oh, right. Yeah. You know, I'm in that zone, right? In the zone. And just kind of, you know, knocking that out and getting back. And at that time, there was things going on that they were talking about, you know, integrating the sexes, and there's no difference between men and women, and we're all all the stuff was going on, and I didn't even look at the door, you know what I'm saying? And I opened up the bathroom door, and I thought, my goodness, now they've taken away all the things that we know they're in men's bathrooms, right? And it was like a whole bunch of rooms or something. You know, I'm like, I just couldn't believe. I'm like, my goodness. I was just so distraught. I'm thinking, they've even changed our bathrooms. And so obviously I had to go into a closet, and I'm in a closet. And next thing you know, I hear this lady's voice.
You hear what?
I hear this lady's voice. I'm like, oh my God. Oh my God. I'm trapped. I'm in this closet. Oh my goodness. What do I do? Dear God, I need a word. I need a word. You know, because you're like little rooms and stuff. By the way, you don't know this. There's little rooms in there. And you're like in your own little room. And it's like, what do I do? And of course, it's Cracker Barrel, 10 trillion people. And this is obviously some time back, because I read the doors now. I don't care what's going on. I even rubbed the Braille. Okay, yeah, that's the men's. And so I waited for silence. And I booked it out of that puppy and came in there and just went totally, just tried to block it out of my mind. And by God's grace, CNN wasn't outside the door. Explain this. I can't tell you. I can't tell. I have no idea. And, of course, all the people around me go, it can happen. It can happen.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Let's pick up where we left off.
Now, think about when Jesus told the disciples to go wait, when he was leaving and ascending back to heaven, and they were waiting on the Holy Spirit. Now, there was a larger group that actually went to the upper room. There was a larger group that was intended to go, but only a few of them, I believe 120,
made it. Yeah,
were actually the ones waiting. Mm-hmm. And just waiting with the right motives, like you're saying, actually produces the right results.
I mean, he appeared to, like, what, 500 people?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the power of God came.
Yeah.
And it's all she wrote. I mean,
thank God they waited.
Thank God they waited.
He said, wait. Don't do nothing.
Don't do nothing.
Wait. And so often we move when all of a sudden we got some pride in our life, whether it's self-excitation or fear of loss, instead of just waiting for peace. Because when you wait for the Spirit's lead, again, you get that peace and that single-mindedness, the self-sacrificing willingness to do it just for Him. Then, at this point, that's all you have left. You don't have this other stuff left. And I think about this. You know, it reveals our motives, whether they're self-motives, whether they're satanic motives, whether they're God's motives in our heart. It reveals any mixture and purifies us when we wait on the Lord. I think about Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. But when I think about waiting on the Lord, I think about, you know, Clint Brown's waiting on the Lord. I mean, think about it, as you're waiting on Him, just waiting on the Lord. Just a powerful, powerful thing.
I'm waiting on you.
Just waiting on the Lord.
Waiting on you. Patiently waiting on you. And I ain't worried about the time. Lord, I seem to find my strength while I'm waiting on you. I am waiting on you. Waiting on you. Patiently waiting on you. Lord, I seem to find
strength while I'm waiting on you.
Say it one more time. I am
waiting on you.
Lord, I'm
waiting on you.
I'm
patiently waiting on you.
Why I will choose to wait. I am
waiting
they shall walk and shall not fade. Oh, yeah. That is what I will do.
So important. If God put Israel in the wilderness for 40 days and he goes, ah, okay, 40 years. I mean, that shifting of that, understand that he's okay with that.
That's right.
When he allows Moses to do 40, to do 40, 40 years alone and 40 years with a people, understanding that, and he waits until Abraham's in his 90s. I mean, just everywhere you look, he just waits. I mean, think about it. Methuselah was 900 something years old.
Hello.
Yeah.
I mean, we're just like a vapor.
Yeah.
And waiting reveals these things. Allow God to reveal these things in your life. You don't want to move on like Saul moved on without waiting.
Mm. Oftentimes we say we're waiting on God, but God is waiting on us to wait on him.
Right. So he can reveal on our hearts to us.
Mm.
Which our hearts, when our hearts are revealed to us, sad to say, you know, we got to stop being shocked. We just got to understand that means we need a savior. We need God.
Mm-hmm.
And he's cool with that. We just need to know that that's how it is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not about where Jesus was told by Satan, hey, you bow down and worship me, these kingdoms will be given to me, I'm going to give them to you. It's not about, you know, self-exaltation. Where Jesus was given the opportunity to not pay the price on the cross and walk away and call down legions of angels, he went ahead and laid down his life. Greater love hath no man than he laid down his life for his friend for the second phase of waiting.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And think about it. All of eternity, God had waited for this moment for his son to be offered up as a sacrifice. And Jesus was with him before the beginning of time as they were making man in our image.
Mm.
And they waited to this perfect moment at just the right times, Romans talks about, where they offered up Jesus. As they waited for that one moment. And we can't wait? What? And Jesus waited to the time he was 30 years old before he even started his ministry. And his ministry on earth was 3 years long. Maybe you just got to wait for a certain point to all of a sudden for your 3 years to be a bright light. Mm. That, by the way, his 3 years we tell time by.
That's right.
Somebody once told me that you can't rush a masterpiece. The things that are value require patience and waiting.
Mm-hmm.
And you think about it, that's what God's doing. I mean, we're at that place of waiting like that. God could provide the solution, the salvation, day one.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Day one. But he allowed time to pass, because he was more interested in what he was doing than on the speed in which it happened, in which it all unfolded.
He wanted to give Israel a land flowing with milk and honey. And they had not waited long enough to deal with things in their hearts. So they didn't even want to take this land flow of milk and honey. That represents God wanting to take us to heaven to be with him.
Mm-hmm.
But he's preparing for us. And hey, we're going to have to deal with some stuff in our life. We're going to have to allow our faith to be tested and not to shrink back and to go through these processes. And waiting again you know, has to do with like being a waiter. You're busy about the things of God, but God's unfolding things. So when David was anointed to be king, he didn't go buy him some business cards and tell everybody, hey, I'm a pastor. I'm a pastor. I'm a pastor. I'm a pastor. She's a pastor. He's a pastor. I'm a pastor. No, he just went back and tended the sheep.
That's right.
That's right.
Just tended the sheep. I mean, you're not, that's, if you're thinking about titles and you're just, it's, it ain't done yet.
Mm-mm.
Ain't done yet. And so in the context, of that, David went back to tend the sheep and waited. He waited. He was anointed king, but he went back to the father's house and served. And even when the king invited him in to be worship leader in the castle, that he didn't even bring it up. He just played music. And he enjoyed that. And he honored that because he knew that that was God's anointed. And he wasn't going to lay hands on God's anointed or his opinion. He was just going to honor what God has established already. He was already king. He just waited. And even though things got rough, he still waited. When things got cut off and he's actually, you know, he's still waiting.
Mm-hmm.
And it waited so long that all that left was spirit, because in the beginning, he may have walked in and said, okay, I got this thing that's going on. But by the time that he was ready to be promoted to be king of Israel, they had to come and get him.
Mm.
Like God came and got Moses. Mm. And that's how you know there's only spirit left.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? Because he's like, he had no problem. And the very same ones that rejected him now comes like, we always wanted you to be. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And because he knew that it was of God, he just said, that's what I'm going to do. That's what I'm going to do. So I encourage you, wait on the Lord. You can never go wrong waiting on Him.
Blue Angel Hot Tubs, Pools, and Spas. Contact Joyce today if you're looking to make that addition to the home. They have a wide selection of hot tubs, and the price is right. They even ship nationwide. Give them a call today. On the Gulf Coast, contact Steve Barnhill's Paint and Body Shop with over 25 years of experience. No job is too big and no job is too small. Get in contact with them today. Taqueria Ogies, authentic Mexican food. They're coming all over the Gulf Coast for some. Come get some today. Spicy, hot, and delicious. Your plate is next. Visit Copy Products today with 5 locations on the Gulf Coast to better serve you. They can help you with all of your copying and scanning needs. Copy machines, fax machines, scanners, printers, shredders, and so much more. Contact them today at 850-432-1580. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.